Hey everyone, this is your host Ian. I am just giving you a quick heads up. There are a few fouls in this episode. There's a few curse words, so just giving you the heads up on that. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TEAMPLAYR.US. And come give Team Player a look.
Ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is part two with my conversation with Dominique and Antonio from Salient Touch Football Academy, where we go deeper into how sessions are built, how players are evaluated and leveled, and why ability-based development matters more than age and labels. This episode gets into how development really happens and when standards, patience, and trust are in place. Let's start this chat and head to the pitch. I think they are exposed to more, and more coaches are leveraging technology to their advantage. Lennon had a coach give him an assignment one time. Give me the formations, first half, second half. When was the formation change? What were the players doing? And I sat down and did it with him. And my wife gave me a hard time because I go, it needs more detail. Give me more detail. Your one-line sentences are not cutting it. Your coach is asking for your opinion of it. Telling him that the formation's 4-3-3 on defense, and then it turns into a 5 in the back and 2 in the midfield and 1 on top. Whatever. That's not the right numbers. That's 8.
five, whatever it was. That's not the answer he's looking for. Talk about what each position's doing. Like, really break it down. Mm-hmm. And I'm an advocate for kids to be coaches and referees. My son is counting down the days until he turns 13. So and the reasoning behind it, I think it's because of me. I push for it because I want him to understand the whole game. If he wants to be a pro soccer player, mm-hmm. he has to understand when he throws his hands up at the referee when he thinks he doesn't do a handball, he needs to understand why he saw that view. Mm-hmm. And I think we as parents have to be the driving force behind that. And I, like I said, it comes back to the amount of information.
Yeah.
And that being there, how do you set up sessions? Are they cone driven? Are they game like? Are they a progression? So if they're going to start from a weave pattern passing down the field, do they have cones involved? Do you work around cones, or is it all game like scenarios?
Yeah.
How do you approach the problem?
So yeah, we try our best to do what is required of us per the way the players are retaining the information. So for, I'll give you an example just as yesterday. There are days where I can use zero cones and it's all interpretation. And then there are days where I need to look, I look like an airport with how many cones are down and land here and do this here. And it's only based on how the players enter the session, really, is the best way I can do it. You have to adapt as a coach. Because we're not a club and because we are not on a, except for our Cantera program, which is our morning homeschool program, they can do 1, 2, 3 day progressions over something and stay similar every day in their consistent setup because they're building off of something that happened yesterday. Whereas I might have a player who hasn't been there in 3 weeks. I have to get them up to speed with the person who's been there 4 days in a row. And so because of that, sometimes I have to lay down the cone and I have to be very, but also particular about the way something should look. So when you ask about session setup, yesterday we started out with 3 different working stations and we consolidated it all down to one. Just you do this here, do this there, and show me what that looks like. Because sometimes they show up and players don't always know why they're showing up. They're just showing up because they're here. They know that they're coming to Salient today on, let's say, a Wednesday or Thursday, and I'm going to do my part. And whatever that part looks like, they're just happy to be there. And so it's our job to extract as much quality and as much commitment and as much passion out of them in that moment so that they go to bed with a net win. You talk about this setup, it doesn't always look the same. And the way we approach it is that we have to be prepared to modify and adapt. And that's literally part of our coaching training.
It is.
Is what do you do when one player says, my stomach hurts and I need to be out for 15 minutes rather than, hey, I'm done for the rest of the
session. How do you adapt?
So mm-hmm. anyway, yeah, you don't just have a one size fits all. It's one size fits one at a time.
I like that. My son has normally gone to just one coach. It's not a actual, I'll put it that way. It's just a flyer. Yeah. And one, like each one has a different experience. One is very much a drill sergeant he's gone to, and the way Landon is today, I give him a lot of credit for. Like, we want to go back to him so bad.
Right.
It's just time. He trains right now 3 days a week. My daughter trains 3 days a week for gymnastics, 2 days a week for soccer. And then the weekends are matches and or family activity, if we can squeeze a family activity in. So it's finding that moment. So what do you tell families like that, that are trying to find those glimmers of moments in their weeks to get them in? Because you said earlier you have packages or open enrollment. That was the word you talked about. You said.
Yes.
Is it the business model? Does it allow for families to drop in 1 day a week or 5 days a week or when they have time? Because at the end of the day, I always call it healthy touches. And the more healthy touches you get, the better off the player is. Mm-hmm. So do you allow for... I know some programs are you buy so many training sessions.
Yeah, I got this one.
Okay.
So we have different options. The punch cards are what you're most familiar with, and those have a little bit of a longer expiration. That allows more time. If you have an extra training, club training session pop up, or you have a band event or middle school soccer, whatever might happen. It's better for flexibility to have a little bit of a longer time span to use the sessions that you've purchased. Now, the thing is, when we're talking about development, development is best seen with consistency. There's no way around that. We have discounted packages for families that choose to do more of a monthly payment where they are committing to coming a certain number of times per month. And those are the players that we see the most progress and development over a smaller course of time. Of course, we offer drop-ins and we love to see players that may drop in or they drop in with a friend, but that's not where we're going to be able to gain the most results. We tried to make our most affordable packages be the ones that are the most consistent so that it's a win-win situation. The families have a more affordable option and we have an option where we're able to have the most promising finding success and development over that course of time with your player. So a lot of different options. I think that
you asked about curriculum, by the way, and we are 6 years old in terms of how long we've been doing this, but we're getting better and better, we think, at learning really. And about using the data that we've seen over time to help us to make the next decision. And what we found is that oftentimes in the evening sessions, let's say Monday through Friday, because we have three locations, you can go to any one of them. You have a plethora of options in terms of what we call a menu style offering. If you want dribbling, we have what's called freestyle. If you want first touch, improvement off the ball, we have training academy, striking, obviously, goalkeeping.
Defending.
Yeah, defending, which was a huge, important introduction. Go ahead.
That is one I have asked, I don't know how many organizations, and most don't offer it. I'll give you props for doing it.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, thank you. It's so valuable. It's the only way you can have the ball is to get it back. It's just so important. You can't go without it.
I think we also hear the most people who start coming to defending, the fastest they see it take effect on the field is they're like, he used that exact tech on the weekend. The only thing I can think of, the reason that the implementation is so fast is because they've never been trained on it. And so if you just show them, they're going to do it. And it's incredible. It is truly mind-blowing. Now, hot topic is, why don't we offer art of defending to our youngest players who are still working on ball mastery? Yes. It's a tough conversation for us to have with parents, but I need to try to tell them, look, when we're talking about defending, we're talking about holding off a player, receiving the ball and now controlling it at the top of your foot while you're shielding your body, you're lowering your hips. And if I have a player who doesn't have the body mechanics to move through a ladder without the ball, and even with the ball at its most foundational level, there's no way that they're going to be able to do all of the things that we're asking for in those defending sessions. So that's been tricky.
Coming from a parent that had a kid, my son went from being a very mild, timid, six and seven-year-old.
Yeah.
We actually hired a private coach to teach him how to use his body. I have a wrestling background.
Yeah.
I tell him to teach him to push, like the push. I call it the push, give, push, let go, and see what happens.
Yeah.
See what they're doing. Because going back to wrestling, it's you tap the ankle, you do something, trying to figure out what their body movement.
Right.
You bait them. And you're trying to teach my son this at 6 and 7. He doesn't listen to me because I'm his parent. But it's like you teach him, I go push into him, let him push into you. You push into him again and see what happens when he does it the third time or the fourth time. And when you get to the sixth or seventh time of doing this, that's when you have to learn to make your breakaway. And when you play this defender, when you play offensively or as a defender trying to beat this player, you have to do all this stuff. And that doesn't get taught. And you having a wrestling background, you can probably teach these kids how to bait them pretty good, or teach the coaches how to bait them into making a movement without realizing they're doing it. And it's like I was telling him, it's just like in baseball. Like I used baseball. I played baseball. And I go, my big thing in baseball was, you make that move so close to the field player that they think you're there. So it's when you move off them, your presence still feels like it's there.
Right.
And I go, then you can make your move. And this is why I was successful at stealing bases in baseball. Mm-hmm. It was because they always thought I was behind them, even though I was 6 feet beyond them leading off. And I go, you have to learn to do this stuff. And Landon went from, we hired this guy to do this private coaching because I was trying to teach him this myself and he doesn't listen. And like, he learned to do an iron bar at 7 years old.
Yeah.
And his coach goes, you're doing it right. The referee could not comprehend a 7 year old doing an iron bar, the boxing out and squaring off at 7 years old. But trying to teach my daughter, who's 7 years old right now, to do this, mm-hmm. it's not the same. Like, you can't get her to do it because she's not the same player as
him. Yeah.
She is. She's more like running into you, being physical, two hands shoving you to the ground player than trying to not be so timid. And it's amazing what defending actually does. But I get what you're saying. You can't teach a 5-6 year old. You can teach a very high level 7 year old, maybe an 8 year old, but beyond that, it's much harder. You probably start at 10, I'm guessing.
That differentiates us though, is that we don't go by age for our levels. So that makes it so that if your son at 7 years old and your daughter at 7 years old are two different players, your son isn't being, and I'm not saying that your daughter isn't capable. I'm just saying in your example, your son wouldn't be held back because they have, we made it to the level of technical ability to be able to comprehend and perform what we are asking of them in that defending session. But if another seven-year-old is not yet to that point, then they are not yet ready to attend that session. And they say, he's seven, why can he be in that session? And it's a hard conversation to have, but the level at Salient goes by your technical ability, and you're never going to be restricted by age. And as far as like how high of a level you can move. And of course, like there's a very normal range. It's not like you're going to have a 6 year old in a
16 level.
So it's all within range.
Goes back to our logo and our footprint. Everyone is different.
Everybody is different. Oh. And I will never allow a player to be in a session that is going to hold back the rest of their group. There's nothing worse than you have a small group of players, 6 players, and you have one player that is just not at the level. And that will hold back an entire session. And so we have to be very firm on our levels of who can be training together, because they're all operating at a similar level and progressing and developing together. And that isn't to say that your 7-year-old daughter doesn't have a level that's just perfect for her to be able to develop and advance at the pace that's correct for her. It rubs some people the wrong way when they can't get into exactly the right level or session that they want. But at that point, we just have to say, you have to trust us. If we haven't done enough to gain your trust, then maybe that's my fault. Maybe I haven't educated you, or maybe we're not the right fit. But at the end of the day, we really stay firm to our levels and our groups, because we want to be able to challenge the player that's like your son, who might be on the younger age, but is ready for those higher level concepts.
And that goes back. Have you guys heard about bio branding yet?
About what?
Bio branding?
No. What is that?
I think I might be saying it wrong, but what it is, it's doing it based on their biological point where they're at in their life versus their age. If you have a player that is I'm going to use Landon. My son's 11, my daughter's 7. So Landon's playing at a lower level right now, let's say, and he's playing more at a 9-year-old level. Mm-hmm. Physically, he's 11. But technically where he fits in is a 9, maybe a 10-year-old level.
Right.
There's a variance you have to play, because mm-hmm. you can't put up too big of a kid in with too small of kids. Uh-huh. But you could drop him down a year and let him go play with the 10-year-olds, because that's where he is actually at, technically speaking,
right.
mentally speaking. And that will actually better help him. From the sounds of it, you guys are doing more of that style versus
– yes.
I was actually just listening to a whole podcast about this yesterday. They're doing it in Sweden with hockey.
Yeah.
And that when players aren't progressing, they'll drop them down in age. Mm-hmm. Here in the States, we can't do that because everything's based off age mm-hmm. and not where their skill sets are.
Yeah.
When you look at baseball, you talk about other sports. I think soccer is so hard to let go because there's only so many levels. Football, when you're done, you're done. And there's no way of getting back in. Mm-hmm. Soccer, there are levels you can go play in locally that are at semi-pro, UPSL, locally here in DFW. You have USL League 2 now. You have mm-hmm. all these different levels that you can go jump into. Even abroad, there's 4 divisions in some countries of the professional level. If you go to England, what is it, 10? levels. Mm-hmm. And you can go find a level to go play at. And it's very hard to give it up because you have access to it.
Right.
Where I feel baseball, football, even basketball, we don't have that for at the adult level.
Right.
It's either it stops at this age and you're done and you can't go back into it. And I going back to, I've been thinking about this as we're talking about the bio branding. It is going back to that. It is figuring out where these kids need to be and figuring out what level they need to be at. And I think at the end of the day, we as parents need to take a step back. You are the subject matter expert. You wouldn't be as successful as you are if you weren't doing things correctly. And like you said, if it's not the right fit, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've left we don't go to certain camps anymore because it's not the right fit for Landon. For Thea, it might be a better fit. She plays soccer because that's where her friends are. It's more of a social aspect. But if you go ask her about gymnastics, on the other hand, she wants to be pushed beyond her level. She doesn't want it to be easy.
Yeah.
I think we as parents, and I think this is part of the education process, which is very hard for you all to do as coaches, because no parent wants to hear little Johnny, little Susie is not at that level. Landon has tried out for multiple teams. I say we, because we drive him there, but he's tried out and I know where he sits among those players because I understand doing this long enough now where he sits.
Right.
But for whatever reason, that coach doesn't think he's part of that equation. Mm-hmm. And I go, that's fine. Go prove him wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of got off tangent there from you guys, but I get what you're doing and I have to give you guys mad respect. Props and respect for that, because that's very hard to do.
It's hard. It's hard for me because being the off-field person, my job is to keep parents happy. And I've struggled with this over the years because especially in the beginning, I just wanted to keep people happy and I would want to cater to whatever they wanted. And I've learned over the years that if I did that, it would water down what we are offering for the main core of our target market, which is competitive players that are looking to get to the next level. Whether that is an ECNL RL player that's trying to get to ECNL, or an ECNL RL NTX player that's trying to get to RL team, or a recreational player in our lower level sessions that is trying to just make a club team. We are just looking for that next level for each of those players. And if we get away from the rigidity of our levels, it will only by just trying to satisfy parents in what level they want their player to be in, it will only water down what we offer. And so it's been hard for me because I don't want to make parents feel that way. It's a hard conversation to have, but they have to be had in order to maintain what we've built.
On a lighter note, the most enjoyable players to have in are the ones who are ridiculously committed. They're so aware of why they're training. You know, yes, your daughter may be in soccer for the social aspect, and we have to accept that. We have to, as coaches, we have to accept that. If I push her out her comfort zone, the sport might lose a player who could have otherwise changed the game. So I have to see it that way. Because she might be at 8 years old, and I have to recognize that. But like, at 11, she might come back and be on lights out on fire. And that was only possible because the relationship and the space we allowed her to feel that flexibility in her individualism of, I'm just here to see how it goes. But then obviously we accept those players as well. But then those players who come in and they walk in, they shake the hand, they close the door behind them, they get other players involved, they get right after it, and they're there and they're driven, not dragged. And that is just one of our favorite players to have in the session. I think of Warner right now, who is like playing lights out at every single session he shows up to. And I think he actually dropped playing for the club, ECNL or whatever. It's one of my favorite stories when this happens because they buck the system that's clearly not working for them. Mm-hmm. And they find something that they're so in love with and pursuing. And he might be in love with sailing right now for 6 months or 6 years, who knows? But while he's here, he capitalizes on every hour and second that he's there. And that level of focus, obviously, you can't ask for everyone. But when you see it, it is the person who makes that session fantastic because their commitment to focus is there. And so you can do amazing things when someone has that. You know, our biggest struggle with some of our coaches is like, guys, you still have to teach the ones who don't identify that yet. They may not have that in there yet. It's somewhere, but it just isn't there yet. How do you pull that out of them? That's our favorite, really.
Yeah.
So let's walk through this really quickly. We've talked about some of the programs you have. So a player comes in. What is a journey like for a player? If I would bring Landon in today for you,
yeah,
what would his experience be now and moving forward? So he'd come in, would he get an assessment by you all? What would be the process of having him be seen? Because at the end of the day, we're talking all about these things all around it. Let's start with the process and see where it goes.
For sure. Okay. So the first step is you reaching out to us and expressing interest in coming to Salient or a session. With that, we're going to ask a couple of questions. What is their birth year? What's their playing experience been? What team are they playing for currently? What position do they play? I also like to know a little bit of their personality traits. Are they very shy and timid? And what kind of coaching does he like? You've already told me that you like a little bit more of direct, militant-ish coaching because you feel that's what keeps him in line. So I'm keeping all of that in my mind as we're talking. And then I'm at the same time identifying, okay, what is the best session for me to have him come to for a free trial session? We do our free trial sessions in what we call our training academy session, which is like our bread and butter of what we do. It gives us more of a 360 look of the player. Because for example, if we had a player come out to one of our freestyle sessions, you could have an Alpha Forms player come out and they would ball out as far as it goes with footwork and technique and everything. But they might not have good speed of play, good game IQ. They might not be strong at technical passing and receiving. And they might not be vocal. They might not be leaders on the field. And so when we do our trial session, we're putting you into a session that helps us to see a full 360 version of a player. During the session, the coaches are evaluating, does this player fit in this level or do they need more of a challenge or less of a challenge? About 45 minutes of the way in, one of our off-field team members is going to connect with the coach to figure out exactly what that player needs as far as level. And then they come out to you off-field and they say, hey, these are the best sessions for Landon. We see that he's a really strong player. It looks like he is a physical and aggressive player and we love that about him. But we really want to focus on his weak foot. And so we suggest that you attend these sessions at this level. And of course, you're able to attend each of our locations. And these are all of the days and times that you can attend them so that you have full flexibility to see, okay, what is going to fit inside of my schedule? I've got gymnastics, I've got piano, I've got his club team on this night. And so you're able to sit there and identify exactly which sessions that he can come to. And then at that point, you can choose, okay, do I need to do a punch card because I'm not sure of our schedule? Or are we all in right now because because it's winter and we have 2 months off and we're going to come back as a different player on February 1st. And so you basically will have all that information at your fingertips. And then from there, you're able to schedule his sessions using our app. And you'll just book sessions on the app. If you need to cancel at any time, you can cancel them through the app. And then we'll see him on field. So that's like the introductory experience that you'll have.
Onto the field. Sorry, I'm going to jump in there.
Go ahead.
So when it comes onto the field, first thing we're looking for is the engagement. So we have six pillars of development that we focus on: technical, tactical, psychological, physical. But then the other two that we feel are wildly as important is social and emotional. So how well can you withstand? What is your emotional endurance? So we go through our warm-up and what is your personality like? How do you handle maybe hardship or challenge, or how do you overcome frustration? And then obviously the social side is it's a game of a team. And so how can you within that team find your impact? So we are assessing that within the entire first session. Sometimes that's enough, sometimes it's not enough, which we would then have another free session for you guys to come and evaluate. And from the beginning, the technical detail, the commitment to focus, all of those things are our biggest focal points.
I like that. Now, as they progress through this, so let's say we pick up whatever program it is for him and we decide for him to whatever it may be, whatever you guys recommend. He needs to have one defensive class, he needs to work on something defensively, and he needs to work on this more of the IQ and foot skill wise. He does that for a while. Do you have progression steps for them to follow? Is it just like you talk about a curriculum? I'm very much, if a player jumps in mid 5-week cycle, how does it affect the rest of the, because to me, I really look at this as the whole gambit,
right?
Just because I know you can't just bring a kid in that rest of the group is 5 weeks into a 10-week process or 2.5 weeks into a 5-week process. And you just can't bring them in because he might not be ready for that. So how do you get players ready to jump into that if they're coming mid cycle? And then as they go from, they finish whatever the coursework that you have for those so many weeks and they jump into the next session, how do you like level them up or progress them? Because at the end of the day, I'm like, going back to what we talked about earlier, he may accelerate for the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks, let's say he moves up into the next group and all of a sudden he's struggling. Will you push that player back down into the lower group, or will you find what's going on and give him a chance to overcome that plateau or regression?
Assimilation is very easy with other great personalities in the session. So if it's verbiage, the player might go through a rep and three of the other six players are like, hey, it's the right foot. This is that and that is this. And when you do this, try to be like this. Try to open your hips up or something like that. The players in there really make that very easy. When you think about a player coming into maybe two weeks into a 5-week focus, we're not so far in the weeds where we can't help a player get to the point. So because we are open enrollment throughout the entire year, nothing is so tactically specific that it's difficult to comprehend. The reps, let's say, that they might be performing are going to progress, and the requirements or the requests from the coach to the players who have been there for a while might be a little bit more strenuous or more complicated or complex. But overall, the focus is easy to comprehend, especially for a player per level. I wouldn't put a 6-year-old player who's in our foundational session, I wouldn't give them the same verbiage as a player who's in our level 3 training academy. It's just, you're so already fine-tuned within the level that you're in, you're close enough to comprehension on all of those things.
We have 13 different levels, which can be really overwhelming for parents, especially. Some of the criteria for each level is very black and white, but a lot of it is very
nuanced
and subjective. How can you really identify like speed of thought, for example? And so pairing minded or skill level players is pretty easy for us to do on field. It's a little harder to communicate to parents, but I always like to tell parents, rest assured that as soon as Landon has mastered all of the topics that we're focusing on in a specific level, we are going to be reaching out to you to advance him to the next level. However, you could be in the same level for a year, 2 years before advancing. And so our job is to communicate what are we working on and what are we progressing on for Landon during that year so that there's constant development. And so that's something that we are working on communicating to parents as we're in the process with them.
I don't know where to start. 13 levels is, and I find that to be impressive. Because that's a lot. That's a lot to maintain, a lot to focus on. I can relate this to gymnastics. I learned a lot. My daughter, I'll give you a little background here at gymnastics, because that's something that is in my life now.
Uh-huh.
And there's 10 levels in gymnastics. Mm-hmm. And there's two forms of gymnastics I learned. There's competitive, there is placement, and then there is like competitive. And competitive is, I call it, everyone gets a medal. And placement is first, second, and third.
Okay.
And so every level has this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can pick and choose where they compete in. And the gym that she goes to purposely goes into competitive because they want them to get used to, she's a level 4. I'll start there. No, sorry, a level 3. She's a level 3. And they don't want them to have the anxiety of getting a medal.
Yeah.
They want them just to go there, get comfortable going through the routines and doing routines. When they get to level 4, is when they will promote, and they'll do it both depending on what's where the girls are at. And if they're not ready for to be placement mentally and technically, they will not put them in a placement competition. They'll put them in a competitive competition. And I feel like that is missing in our soccer community. And they flat out told me, like, we don't push people to level 10. And that's the top level. If you push them too early, they get burnt out and get injured. So if you're talking to someone that could be a level 10 at 14 years old, they're stuck at level 10 until they graduate high school if they want to go off to college. And from the sounds of it, you have that range to allow it, and you're focused on making sure they're in the right placement, the right range. So part of their journey is to go through this. So at each level, they're slowly learning more. So what would you call a level 13 then? Where would be the progression for them to go when they leave you then?
Yeah, and it doesn't go from, just for clarity, it doesn't go from like level 1 to 13 like gymnastics does. We have all different names. So the top level is actually called level 4. And that player is most likely like an 07 or 08, 09 player. So like your later ends of high school, that is playing at the ECNL, ECNL RL or MLS, MLS 2 levels of clubs and are planning to play in college or overseas. So that's our top level that we have. A lot of times those players, if they're interested, are also working as junior technical coaches with us for the younger players. That would be that group of players there.
Let me go back a little bit. So when the players hit middle school, all of a sudden, obviously things change physically and psychologically, but they're also in different environments and a lot of it has to be rebuilding confidence. You'd be amazed at what happens from 6 to 11 or 10 and then what happens from 10 to 15. It feels like regression or it feels like lost oftentimes because there's that period where people are maturing differently at different times. The competition has changed. The playing field has changed. The speed of the game has changed. And the requirements are different, especially American-based, I would say. And so oftentimes we can progress a player up until that point, and then they start hitting extra practices with their club, other sports from schools and middle schools, and that takes a toll on their ability to attend nightly sessions. So we have a plethora of different offerings, whether it's video analysis, different types of conversations that we'll have with the players, different offerings for our homeschool players who are hitting that age, where we do a little bit more of a specialized program for them.
Yeah.
Our biggest thing is because we're so young and small, we can modify something to fit the needs of a player who is in a unique situation. And so when it gets to level 4, they're oftentimes in that. How does your college readiness look? Where are you in your ability to read your own film, create that film, and get it out to contacts that are important? So it shifts into a little bit more of a mentorship program, but that's often because those players have been with us since 8 years old.
Okay. I'm going to make sure I get everything because you mentioned a couple other things.
It's a lot.
What you're covering there is great. And if someone needs to go back and re-listen to it, they might need to. I know I will go back. I'll listen to this about 6 times. So I know I'll get it down pretty well. My question to you, you mentioned earlier on about homeschooling programs. Mm-hmm. I found that, is that like, how do I describe it? Are they coming to your facility during the day, taking a break from homeschooling? Or do you have classroom settings where they can come in, do their homeschooling, go hit the turf for a few hours, come back, do a little bit more coursework or do turf times and school lunch, then hit turf time. And is that something they do or how's it set up? Just curiosity because I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
Currently our homeschool program does not include the academic element. So the players that are attending it have their academic piece that is individual to them that they're doing at home or they're working around their training. We are strictly the training that's happening for they're mainly higher level players that have chosen to homeschool for the sake of opening up more soccer opportunity and training during the day. So it's a group of like-minded people that are coming together. And the nice part about it is that some of them have actually chosen to stay after and do their studies together inside Crossbar just to spend time together and have camaraderie while they're doing their schoolwork. This is after training. So our homeschool program is called Cantera. It's 3 days a week, 2 hours each day. And then for two different age groups, we have a strength and conditioning and athletic performance session that happens after one of those days that's included in the program. That eliminates having to find that elsewhere. It's a great addition to that program for those players that are the most committed. So they'll spend an hour additionally a week with Coach Red, who is from Driven Elite, and they do all athletic performance that's specific to the soccer player. And so that's included in the program as well.
Awesome. That's one of my other questions. What do you offer off the pitch? Because with your background, Dominic, you have the physical training side. Do you offer, I call it the competitive edge side. It's the more physical side of the game, the building the muscles, building the diet and things like that. Do you have that part of built into it because of your background already? Or are you guys working on that for the future?
It's definitely something that we want to kind of infuse into our environment and into the players to have that education of how do we properly fuel ourselves for the weekends, let's say, and how do we properly recover? Those are things that are really important to us. Currently, we have a winter program going on right now where we have partnered with Mallard Speed Doctor, who is doing it's a 10-week program over the winter of 20 different sessions where players are able to come and work on their speed, performance, and strength, also specific to the soccer player. What we're trying to do in anything that we do is make sure that it's not just like generic training. We really want it to be specific to their soccer needs. So that is what we're doing as far as the speed side. And then I would love to incorporate more recovery, more nutrition. However, this is the part that I'm actually really interested in. And we did it a little bit in the beginning in our camps, but taking young players and in addition to their soccer training, also teaching them like that there is either a nutritional side or a business side to sports and showing them what that path could look like for them. We did a sports business camp once, which of course was a lot of soccer training, but then they also had to kind of come up with their own club ideas and create their crest for their club and take them down the journey. We had a club owner come in and discuss what it's like to own a club. And that was just obviously one avenue, but sports marketing and even the value of, let's say your 11-year-old being able to learn how to take his highlights and create a highlight film that is worth sharing with colleges in his near future. And so how do we teach young players like the full embodiment of progressing and professionalism in this sport? Can we teach them that at a young age so that they have the full toolkit when they are basically graduating?
Okay. Wow. Okay. Is there anything that you guys have planned for the future? Because that's what's going on. From the sounds of it, you have ideas, but is there anything coming up that you talked about January with the new communication with parents? Is there anything else that's coming up or that you want to share with parents? And then I'll ask my last favorite question to both of you.
Okay. I would say our biggest focus right now is properly educating, doing a better job educating parents from the beginning of your journey on the levels and criteria for each of the levels and what your projected path could be with a good commitment and consistency. But more so than that, specific to you, giving progress updates on a regular basis so that you know exactly where you stand and you know what we're working on and you know that progress is being made even during those plateaus or when it doesn't show on the field. So that is our biggest goal going into 2026, is really mastering that element because we feel like that's an area that we haven't quite nailed yet and we're going to nail it next year.
Okay. My favorite question to ask, because I never reveal it. If you listen to it, you'll know it's coming. Who has been the greatest influence on you as a athlete, as a coach, and as a business owner? Because you both own a business together. So it's three. It can be a gambit of people, but you each have your own individuals that have been this for You're a multi-sport. Both of you were, Antonio, you were a soccer player, and Dominique, you were a multi-sport athlete. So you might have different backgrounds that people have influenced you as sport, as a athlete, then who has influenced you as a coach, and who has been the mentor that you'd like to give a shout out to as a business owner?
God, it's an untoppable answer. Just because do all good through him, and good should come of it. I don't know. I can't look to one person and pinpoint how much I implement what they taught me. I'm just so thankful for the journey that I've been on, where I have a wife who I learned from, kids who I learned from, players who I learned from. And so I just keep following my instincts on that.
One of my wrestling coaches was just a mentality of, okay, oh, my elbow hurts. Okay, does it hurt when you touch it? Yeah, then don't touch it. So just that sort of mentality is like, hey, look, get over yourself and keep pressing on. And that has stayed with me. Different quotes that they would tell us and that basically have just stayed with me. And we still have quotes all over our mirror that we live by on tough days. Just keeping that inspiration going, that started with my wrestling coaches, but also don't take yourself too seriously. And this isn't made to be easy. So that's come from that. I think as a business mentor, my mom, she has owned her own business as a recruiter for 30 years. And the way that she has been successful is through relationships. And that is the only way to do it. And in the beginning, I was the only person working with parents, and it was really easy for me to connect with parents when they would come in, and I felt like they were my friends and I would take care of them. And I know that they felt that warmth from me. And so as we've grown, I've had to understand how to make sure that people feel that same warmth and connection from our off-field team so that they feel like we're family when they come. Because I think that like the experience that we give is as important as the quality of our training. And having learned that from my mom and watching her success and her grit and her grind and how hard this is, and that you just can't give up. And if you have a hard day, get up and write down a list of things that you're going to do and knock them out. That type of go get it, go for it mentality is from my mom, and the reason that I really value the relationships that we have with our families.
Yeah. So read a lot of books.
Books.
Read a lot of books.
We read a lot of books. We have a stack of books that this is our baby. We pour so much into it. We live it, and we are constantly looking to grow and grow as people, grow as business owners, and grow as our offering of what we're giving to players and to families. And so just constantly being on the forefront of what's next.
We didn't talk about something that I really love, by the way, which was we travel a lot inside this little van that I spent years trying to convince Dome to get. It's like a little Sprinter van converted into a thing. But the largest part of that was just trying to be outside, trying to stay connected to nature, just get out and about, get your hands dirty. And what it did, what it turned into, we wrapped it obviously so that people can notice when we're coming, but we made this experience called pachanga, which pachanga was a word that we learned while we were in Italy on our honeymoon, which was basically like just go out there and play with a bunch of people.
Pick up play soccer.
Yeah. I guess a party of some sort. And we called it the pachanga van for the experience of just tailgating, cooking, playing soccer outside, connecting with people, crowd the bus, have fun, and experience how great this sport can be through people and get to know others. And that was just one thing that I think needs a larger light, because it is one of our favorite things to do.
You asked what's coming in the next year. And we just started with the pachanga van this past month. And each weekend we try to get out to at least one field or tournament for a few hours. We cook for free. We just try to get as many families over as we can. And it's just more of that relationship building and camaraderie and community and
chill
and just a love of what we're doing beyond what's happening on the field.
Across these two conversations with Dominique and Antonio, we didn't just talk about training sessions or programs. We talked about what development actually asks for everyone involved. In part one, we start at the roots, where coaching identity comes from, how lived experience shape how you teach, why first touch matters, but so does emotional intelligence, and why development almost never looks clean and predictable, especially when you're working with kids. We talk about the tensions between structure and freedom, discipline and joy, and how the best environments are built by coaches who understand both. In part two, we shift into the day-to-day reality of execution, how sessions are designed when players come in at different stages, why leveling and ability matters more than age, why defending is often one of the fastest ways a player gains confidence, and why holding a firm standards isn't about being rigid. It's about protecting the environment for players who have already ready to work. What stood out most across both of these conversations is the real development requires alignment. Alignment between coaches and players, between parents and the process, and between expectation and reality. Progress is not a straight line. There are plateaus. There are moments where growth doesn't show up on the scoreboard or in the weekend results. And that's often where trust is tested the most. The truth is, players don't need to be rushed. They don't need constraint, movement, or validation. They need an environment where standards are clear, patience is practiced, and feedback is honest. When those pieces are in place, confidence follows, resilience follows, and over time, performance does too. These conversations are reminders that development isn't about chasing the next level. It's about staying committed to the work, even when it's uncomfortable or unclear. And when parents, coaches, and players are aligned around the idea, the game becomes something kids can grow with, not just grow out of. Big thanks to Dominique and Antonio for sharing their story, their philosophy, and the work they're doing to push youth soccer forward in a thoughtful way.
If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.